Now, who can remember the first time we heard that gospel passage this year? No takers, huh? Hint, it's during Lent. Still no takers, huh? First Sunday of Lent is always, either from Matthew, Mark, or Luke, the story of Jesus being baptized and then going out into the dense desert to be tempted for 40 days. Second Sunday of Lent is always, either from Matthew, Mark, or Luke, the Transfiguration. But then it's also every year on August the 6th. And it's important enough that if August 6th lands on a Sunday, it actually pushes that away and takes over. I mean, literally, this should be the 18th Sunday of ordinary time, but today's August the 6th, so we have the Transfiguration. There's something in that the church considers important enough to hit twice. We've been given a hint already. It's something that was repeated in the entrance antiphon, in the Alleluia, in the second letter from St. Peter, and again in the gospel passage. At the baptism, you heard this voice that comes out of the clouds as Jesus comes up out of the water and a dove descends upon him and says, "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's echoed here, but then God the Father adds something to it. An instruction. "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This is not an imitation of Carol Burnett. This is my beloved Son. Listen to what he's saying. And in Peter's letter, we actually get from him saying, yeah, we heard that voice. And it's not just, yeah, we heard this booming voice out of the heavens. We heard what was said. And now we're passing it on to you, because Peter, James, John, and later on the rest of the apostles are charged with bringing all of this message to God's people. They are meant to be serving as a light that's shining in a dark place by bringing God's word to the people. Now, what's the dark place? There have been lots of them. Daniel is having his vision during the middle of the what's called the Babylonian exile. Babylon came in, conquered, threw down everything in Jerusalem, and took a whole bunch of captives back to Babylon. And they've been there in bondage and in slavery for a number of years. They're in a dark place. Why did they get there? What happened that they wound up having to suffer all of this and be in exile? God had been sending them prophet after prophet after prophet, bringing a very simple message that you're not being faithful to the covenant, and if you don't straighten up and turn around and set your course back right, there are bad things that are going to happen to you. It's a self-inflicted dark place. But you know, if you can imagine what it was like to go through that and not having any idea whatsoever how long it was going to go on, what else you might have to endure, what do you think the people really needed to hear? They needed a message of hope. Yes, you're in this place because, you know, basically your own fault for not having listened, but it will not last forever. There will come a time of relief, of release, of restoration. So basically Daniel is seeing these images, this vision of God the Father and basically God the Son as well, and that glory cloud, which is the Holy Spirit, coming to him to give him a message to take to the people to restore their hope. Israel, northern and southern kingdom, they have been laboring under the bondage of the Roman Empire since around 63 BC, and there's another self-inflicted time of darkness. The suffering, laboring under the bondage of the brutality of the Roman Empire. What do you think they need again? They need a message of hope that this is not going to be forever. And especially since, you know, now the Roman Empire is not just persecuting the Jewish people, It's during the days of Caesar Nero, the most vile and perverted of all the Roman emperors, that is now also beginning to persecute Christians. So what do they need? Hope. They're in a dark place. They need somebody to bring them a message saying, this will not endure forever. This will not conquer you. This will not do away with you. There's hope, something to hold on to. It's also true, you know, you've got Moses and Elijah appearing to Jesus in this moment of transfiguration where they are seeing literally the glory of Jesus' divinity radiating through his person and hearing God the Father's voice. And there's another glory cloud, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's meant to kind of bolster them up because they're about to go through an even darker place. When the transfiguration happens, it's literally a major turning point in all of the Gospels, because it's from this point on that Jesus begins making his way to Jerusalem for the last and final time. And this experience that Peter, James, and John have is not just for themselves, but for something that would help them to kind of bolster up the rest of the apostles after the resurrection and help them to go out and bring this message of hope to all the peoples. You know, the message of evangelization is a hope, something to be hoped for, because God's grace, God's word, is more powerful than anything at work in the universe. A time of hope. When God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, listen to him. The message that's being conveyed in there is God's word is the root of the hope. And what does he tell them they need to do? Again, this is not a Carol Burnett imitation. When they hear the voice of God speaking, what do they need to do? Hear it. Hear it, and then as a consequence, not just sit there like, oh yeah, I heard that, but go forth and do what they hear. That's what takes the hope, brings it to life within them, and does what it's also intended to do, of spreading it to others, that others might have hope. Look around you at the world as it is today. Do you think we need some hope? Are we in a dark place? How did we get here? We haven't been listening. Now, humanity is really bad for that. We have this thing that, you know, most people accuse just men of this, but believe me, it is something that the entire human race is guilty of. It's called selective hearing, or sometimes alternatively, selective deafness. We hear what we want to hear and don't hear what we don't want to hear, and especially what we don't want to hear is that we've got stuff that we need to stop doing, and there are stuff that we need to start doing, because if we don't, we're going to self-inflict a dark place on ourselves, and we're there. We need this. We need to hear this. We need to go out and do this. The only way, and I mean the only way, out of the darkness that this world likes to inflict on us, that we keep inflicting on ourselves, is to hear his voice and do his word. There's no other way out. And it's not just while we're here on earth, because ultimately, what's the biggest darkness that we face? What apparently everybody just really loves to think about, right? What is that darkest place that we all will have to face? I'm going to try it again, because I ain't going to let you go. That darkest place we will all have to face: dying. There's no escaping that, so we might as well be realistic and deal with reality. It's something we will all face. What will turn that into a place of hope? Hearing his voice. If we hear his word and do it, put it into practice. If we hear it and put it into practice, death becomes transformed from darkness into light, from death into life, from darkness into hope. And it all hinges on hearing, actively hearing, which means putting it into practice, what God is saying to us. God is giving us the means to transform whatever darkness we find ourselves in, a lot of which we inflict on ourselves, not just as society or as a nation, but individually as well. But God can take that and transform it and change it. But again, hinge point, we have to hear it, which means understanding that that word is intended for us to listen to, be attentive to, and take action on. It has been at work since the beginning and will continue to be at work until after the second coming of Christ, but it's the same for every single generation. We need to hear that voice of God, to recognize that when God the Father is speaking forth his Son Jesus and empowering through the Holy Spirit, the word that's being brought is something that is intended to give us life, but we have to actively choose to receive it, which means to hear it and then go out and do it. One last time, we need to hear it. It's being spoken personally to each and every single one of you. If I had time, I'd stand here and aim this finger at every one of you. Because if you've got darkness going on in your life, whether inflicted by the world around you, by the things that happen, by sicknesses and injuries, but especially the things that we do to ourselves because we make stupid choices, this is what will bring us out of that darkness and help us to start living in the kingdom of light and life that Jesus has come to bring us through his taking our darkness to the cross and rising from the dead.